When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Welcome to the Dennis Miller option. I remember Seagal came in some Alan Carr caftan or something, sat down with a Iroquois braid. I thought this could be a long week. Dana Carvey, ladies and gentlemen.
Why don't you yell out for Steve out there, see if you can get him to come in like you're the real deal.
Bulbous and Gord, Arnold is stronger than you. Your buttocks are like marshmallows compared to Arnold.
It was like the horse broke its leg in the back straight away, put the tent up and put me down. It was so awkward.
Remember to listen to new episodes of the Dennis Miller Option every Wednesday right here on Podcast One.
Do it.
You can follow Dennis on Twitter at DennisDMZ, Instagram at Dennis Miller, and on Facebook he's at Real Dennis Miller.
And by the way, I hide nothing here with the Dennis Miller podcast.
What kind of mind thinks of this?
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for tuning in to Castrol Car Cast, brought to you by one of our favorite sponsors, Castrol Edge. Good day, Matt.
Hello.
Andrea.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
It's been a busy week. Been running around even all morning.
Yeah, man. I oftentimes think about thank God for Matt DeAndrea.
Oh, thanks.
Thank God. Able to get so much done with Matt. But also, I realize I don't really, I'm a car nut, but I don't really have anyone in my life who cares about cars or knows about cars or has any interest in my cars or anyone's cars or anything to do with cars.
Yeah.
That's where Matt comes in, which is I just treat Matt like my car wife. It's just constant conversations about auctions and 935s and events coming up. And I don't... It's weird, but if I go home and go, and someone goes, well, actually, first off, no one ever go, what did you do today? They wouldn't say that. But if they did, and I said, I went to Willow Springs with a 935 and drove with Jay Leno, they just go, oh. And that'd be the last time we'd ever discuss it. So I actually don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have an nothing discussion.
Okay.
So I bring it up to you.
Yeah.
And speaking you come
of,
with me.
Speaking of cars, I'm just going to put this out here. We're working on the Lamborghini 400 GT, the 67 400 GT. And these things are, they didn't make a lot. So they're always a pain in the ass trying to track down parts. And we're thinking about making some parts and casting some parts. We had that discussion about metal casting and stuff. And so I spoke to Bodie, who's doing a great job working on the car. We need the door glass for both sides, driver and passenger door glass. We also need the driver's side.
By the way, can I say this?
Quarter panel glass.
Don't tweet me and go, are you talking about both side quarter panel glass? It's like, no, door.
Door glass. I'm trying to be very specific about this.
Right.
Driver and passenger side door glass. Also, driver side quarter glass and the chrome trim that goes around it. Maybe it's a polished stainless. I
probably
don't know.
Polished stainless. Okay. Or yes.
And outer door handles, both sides. Inner door handles, both sides, and an oil cooler.
That's what I love about you. Now I bet the oil cooler we can.
Yeah, we can come up with some sort of oil cooler. Is it the exact one? I don't know. We can get some specs off the Lamborghini 350 and figure out what it, you know, kind
those
of needs
to be. Cars had oil coolers back in the day, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Probably because the radiators sucked. The fans sucked. And they went, did everything they could. So these are significant items, but not as many items as we thought. Like, these are the missing items. So I'm just going to throw that out there if anybody's got a spare 400 GT in their back lot.
Well, the handles... would be the same as the Espada?
Possibly the 350.
Oh, sorry. Mm-mm. The Espada actually has a trim piece that runs all the way the length of the car, a door guard, whatever, and it actually bumps into the handle. So the Espada has a super long piece that runs all the whole length of the car, and it when it gets to the handle kind of molds around it. So it looks the same, but it's not quite the same. But it's same as the 350, although if you had an Espada handle, you could probably figure out a way to make it work. And it's also the same as the, I think it's the same as the Urama. Wait, is that the Urama?
The Urama. Yeah. After it's like the 400. It's like after the 400.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's funny because you and I had this discussion. We're like, hey, can we find the glass? And it was just a very brief, like in passing. And I was like, sure, I got a guy. Let me call him. And he called me yesterday. And he's like, I got it. I got the windshield you need. I was like, I don't need the windshield. I need the door glass. But he found it.
Wow.
He's got it. Yeah. He didn't give me a price or anything. He just said we found one.
Tell Bodie to break that windshield that's in the car.
I kind of feel like if it's a fair price, we should buy one. I meant Bodie.
Yeah. And also want to look into making glass, too, if that's possible. We don't know a lot about it. Someone's talking about finding something that's close and then cutting it and stuff like that.
Yeah, for the door glass now.
For the door glass.
Yeah, for the door glass we're talking about.
I don't know. Or maybe even for the quarter window and the behind the door. Like, if something's close and you can cut it. So be it. Again, not our field of expertise. Did it before.
But I have a feeling that quarter glass, and the side glass we know, but the quarter glass, if it was a flat piece and it was simple, Bodie a long time ago would have said, we don't have it. It looks pretty simple. We can get something and cut it. No big deal. But I have a feeling it's like it's got a curve
sure,
in it. Or
it all has a curve.
Right, because it could never be easy.
All right, so we went down to Willow with the Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And drove around the 935. It ran well. It's such the track is so
we
small.
We were on Streets of Willow. Yeah.
Streets of Willow, sorry. And the gears in that car are so long that I was literally driving around in first gear for like a lot of it and then second gear, but only third along this back stretch. But at a certain point in third, before it was time to slow down and make a right-hand turn up the hill, I was getting to about 7,300, 7,400 maybe, as I recall looking at the tack in third. The car's got long gears, so I must have got up to 110 or 15 or something going up the back. But for insurance purposes, we keep it to 99.
Yeah, 99. Mm-hmm. 99. So it was coming on boost. Here's a question for you. Were all 12 of your spark plugs firing your six cylinders?
Yes.
Did your $1,200 of plugs work?
I think.
It sounded good. It looked like it was moving fast.
Yeah, you showed me you put together a little composite and threw it up.
Yeah,
a little 30-second video of it. My only beef with that video is it cut out right as the car was really starting to get into it going up the hill. Like, I would like to see another 3 seconds of that car
what
going up the hill.
Is, that's like right when the camera guy walks in front of me.
Oh, well, then
that's so I cut it out.
Well, then you're good.
Yeah. And I didn't neglect it. I just
thought it was an editorial decision that I disagreed with. But,
no, I hear you. No, it was
kind of
going
around.
There you go. And I zoomed in a little bit, but then that was it. That's when the camera guy steps in front of me, so I cut it down to whatever I had.
It was fun. It was good. I always like it when people send tweets like, is that thing street legal? I always like that. Like, I don't know. Do you own a car? Do you see other cars? Have you ever had one of those discussions where like the cop in a movie from the 50s, like, boy, you got a turn indicator broken here. And then the black guy's driving. And it's like, what are you talking about? And he bashes it out with his nightstick. You know, you can't drive with no turn indicator.
Oh, like the Rundown.
Like,
the Rock.
Yeah. You ever see movies like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Where would the turn indicators be on that car, or the backup lights, or the license plate?
To be fair, too many people run around on street cars with way too many stickers.
I think that's true.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I tweeted you this morning too, because we're just randomly chatting here. I tweeted you this morning as we're recording this tonight. Wheeler Dealers has a 510, and it's got kind of this BRE stripe on the side. And like in the promo piece, they're like, it's got race car inspired paint.
Inspired paint.
And I was like, no reference to BRE at all. There's nothing there. Chris, you can find it. Look at like Wheeler Dealers Twitter.
It seems,
and there's like a little promo for tonight's episode that, you know.
Yes, I
saw, which would have been a few days ago.
It's a 510 that somebody was trying to clone like a BRE car.
Yeah, which we talk about all the time. People do that. It looks
they
it looks
did good. It, and then they quit on it, or they replaced the door, or something like that, and. They say race car inspired.
1972 Datsun 510.
Yeah.
Happy banging away.
I like that they're doing this.
Import in North America. 510s are now highly sought after as project cars and weekend racers.
This is what people want.
A 1972 two-door is a rare find, but this car is a mess.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
And the race-inspired paint job nearly inspired me to run in the opposite direction.
Race-inspired paint job.
Yeah, I don't like? Here's what I don't like. This is a teachable moment.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know Pete Brock or BRE. A lot of people have seen Datsuns with the clone BRE paint and may not be sure what actually it's inspired by and who what was the original.
Yeah.
And this is like your moment, like if you're talking about a painting and you're like, oh, this is Monet at Giverny, and he lived there for a number of years in France, and he would paint these water lilies or something. Instead of going, that dude made a picture. Because you don't glean anything off of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm saying, take a moment and say, BRE inspired paint job, Pete Brock, and the winningest 510 ever,
yeah,
or something like
now,
that.
Of course, this is just a promo. We'll see what happens in the TV show. But that being said, make a mental note of this, because we're going to have Mike Brewer come into the studio, I think, in about next month. And then we're going to give him a little history lesson on the BRE 510. And I'm sure he'll love every moment of it.
I'm sure, just like I love every moment of Butcher Box. Delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken and heritage breed pork, directly to your door on a monthly basis. I had the hamburger last night. All products are humanely raised and never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. Huge difference in flavor between animals raised on a pasture, and those fed grain and concentrated feedlots. Special offer. Now, the heritage breed pork, that was my first thing. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the old school pork. It's marbled. It's got some fat in it. Vinny says it's great. That's why. Remember the new school pork? It got all dry, became the new white meat.
Yeah.
And I had this weird thing, which is I used to love pork chops and pork everything, pork loin, yeah, and that was the most flavorful. And then at a certain point, I got into my like 30s or 40s, and someone was like, you want pork, whatever? And I was like, nah, I don't really like pork. And I couldn't figure out why I didn't like it, and that's why.
It became the new white meat.
They made it all white and dry. Well, now you can go back to the old school stuff you remember from your childhood.
Nice.
Heritage breed pork. Anyway, special offer. $10 off, plus free bacon. Who doesn't love free bacon? You go to butcherbox.com, use the discount code Adam. You get free shipping anywhere in the 48 states. So no commitment. Cancel easily anytime and enjoy. Butcherbox.com.
I feel like we should have a box delivered every week while we're doing this show. So we can just talk about cars and eat pork and bacon.
Eat bacon. Tomorrow, you can find us at the Uppity Screening, Free Admission, 7 o'clock, Indianapolis Museum of Art, the Tobias Theater. And we're going to be there. Nate's going to be there. Nate Adams, the guy we made the film with, Willie T. Ribs, is going to be there as well. It's first come, first serve. It's free, but it's first come, first serve. So you have to work that out.
I think you're supposed to RSVP. I believe there's a Facebook page and possibly an RSVP to go and see the movie. And then there's a Q&A with you guys after the screening.
Yeah, help me out with this, Max Zapata. I'm not sure, but to my recognition or to my understanding or recollection, I should say. Somebody said, oh, RSVP at, and then, you know, go to chassis, whatever. And then somebody said later, oh, forget it. Just show up.
Yeah. Just show up.
So just show up.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing?
It's been confusing all week, but I think they finally settled on just come in. We'll let you in as long as it's not full.
It's a 500-seater. That's a pretty big theater.
Size, yeah. Yeah.
So I suspect you'll be able to get a seat, but come in a little early and play it safe. And we're having a VIP thing before that, but that's for the indie people and Willie and his friends and blah, 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 right?
Yeah, but yeah. The Q&A afterwards, I mean.
That's, yeah, stay around that's for that. All right, so we got so that to look forward
great.
To.
And if you're going to be at the Indy 500, we're going to be roaming around there Sunday morning checking out the race.
Right.
Right? So if you know,
mm-hmm.
come say hi out there as well if you see us.
Yeah, so definitely come say hi.
Come over and give Adam a hug.
Yep, hug me. Don't spill my beer, but hug me.
Right.
So Matt had a date.
Oh, yes.
And the car didn't work right.
Yeah, it didn't go quite as I thought. So I through a friend, I met this girl at the Long Beach Grand Prix, and she was in town from New York. And I was like, we hung out as a group, had a great time, great conversation. I was like, when you come back into town, let's go grab some dinner. So we got mm-hmm. the group together again, sort of a double date thing. And I just went back and picked up the M3 with the supercharger on it. Been working on it for a while, getting the tune dialed in. It seemed to be running good. And I was getting it detailed up. We're doing this photo shoot with HRE wheels basically tomorrow. Or so I was excited to get in the car and see how it ran. So I'm heading downtown LA, going to pick up a buddy of mine, and the car just shuts down. Mm-hmm. And I smell a little bit of clutch at this mm-hmm. point. It's mm-hmm. I hear a squeal. It's shutting down. So I just put it in neutral. Get off the freeway quickly at the first exit I can find into a neighborhood.
Thank
just park
you,
it.
Hero, by the way. All the other assholes just coast to a stop in whatever lane they're in and, like, just get out of their car and stand around.
Oh, no. No power steering. I'm getting, like, I'm just going as fast as I can. I just
sure.
put the blinkers on and I'm just like, I'm trying to get as much momentum
sure.
as possible. No power steering and get it off the
We've
road.
We've all had it. You treat
side
it,
of the
you
road.
Treat it like your goddamn pilot and you just had engine failure. You start
yeah.
shutting things down and hitting the flaps and doing all the stuff
yeah.
you got to do and get off. Like, you're in emergency mode because all you have is the momentum that had been
yeah.
created before the engine gave out.
And I coasted off the freeway, did kind of run through one little stop sign because I saw across the street a red zone the size of one car. Like,
mm-hmm.
nobody could park there. You could never get a fire engine there. It's like a red zone and then somebody's driveway, then more red zone where you
right.
put the fire truck. So I got it into that spot. And it's like, oh, man, I can't figure out what happened. Maybe spun a bearing in the engine or something. And I said, but you know what? The hell with it. I'm just going to lock up the car, put a note on the window, call an Uber, go on my date.
What's the note on the window?
The note says, engine broke. AAA said they're going to be a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So leave the note, go on the date, and... The date, fantastic place. It was fun. The girl is great. But she had just traveled from New York to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And our dinner reservation was like 9:15. We got there 9:30. So now it's 12:30.
Her time.
Her time.
Mm-hmm.
Super tired.
Yeah, that's
and,
what you want.
And I'm thinking the whole time, I think I got to buy a $12,000 engine. You know, so I'm distracted by this
sure.
engine cost. Wasn't the best night ever, but,
sure.
but we had a good time. This place was amazing, downtown LA. Then after dinner, it's like almost 1:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I grabbed my buddy. I was like, if you're not doing anything, let's go find my car.
Right.
And then for a minute, I was like, God, where did I park it? I don't even remember
yeah.
what exit it was. But Waze says, your car is here.
How does Waze do that?
When I parked and then I Ubered, somehow it knew. It's like, this is where you park your car.
I see.
I was like, sweet. So it took us to the car. And then I just asked him. I was like, look, I need to be under the hood. You start the car. Once I hear it, I can probably know what's going on.
Right.
So he starts it. And I immediately hear the loud squeal. And I was like, oh, it's not the crank. It's not a bearing. It's the supercharger.
Right.
So the supercharger had seized up. So my thought is, okay, if I could just cut the belt off this thing, I could probably fire it up and it'd be fine. Maybe it runs a little rich, but it'll be good. It's a centrifugal supercharger. It's a Vortex supercharger that's mounted on the side of the motor, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't have been that confident. I would have had a thought about the supercharger's off or disconnected, essentially. Maybe the computer's not going to let me drive the car or something. But
yeah, well, it's all aftermarket. It's not factory. So sure. I would imagine like maybe the OE cars could have sort of that sort of fail-safe in it. But, you know, I was looking at the car. It wasn't leaking any fluids. It still had oil in it. I checked the basic things. All the belts were still on it. But we had just cleaned the car out to detail it for this photo shoot, so I didn't have anything. I didn't have a leather man. I didn't have a knife. Didn't have anything. So my buddy Rick and I, we walk up to a 7-Eleven. I was like, let's just get anything to remove a belt. I grabbed a lighter, thinking I can burn the belt off.
It's a pretty healthy belt.
Yeah, it's a big 8-rib thick belt.
Right.
So I grabbed a lighter. It's like, okay, maybe we can melt it, burn the belt. I grabbed some nail clippers, and Rick found a roll of packing tape with the, you know, like the red plastic handle on it, and it's got that little saw blade in the front to cut the tape. Yep. I was like, let's grab these three things. We walk back to the car. And that's when I get the parking ticket, is the 16-minute walk from – it's been sitting there for 4 hours while we're, you know, drinking and dining and having a good time at the restaurant. And then when we come back at 1:30 in the morning, that's I got the parking ticket. And but I knew I was going to get the tickets. In a red zone, there was no place to park it. I knew that was going to happen. Just eat that.
Yeah. The only time you ever see anybody hustle who works for this city, it's parking enforcement. Like when you – if there's anything you need from the city, the answer is no. But when it comes to parking enforcement, when I used to live up Beachwood Canyon, I'd come home on a Saturday night at 2 a.m. I'd see parking guys coming down Beachwood Canyon. Like they would go up to the top of the hill and try to find taxpayers who didn't have their wheels turned in, who were parked on the hill. Like parking was always catch as catch can up in the thin streets and canyons up there, and there'd be like no parking on one side but parking on the other. And people just come home and park on one side and, like I said, wouldn't have their wheels turned in or whatever. There's chicken shit fucking pussies would go up those hills, and now no one else in the city's working at 2 a.m. on a Saturday. Right. Oh, these guys are. The lights never go off in the fleecing department. Like when they're there to rape taxpayers, they never shut. Building and safety, all that other stuff. Yeah. Like you call them and go, hey, could I get an inspection? I go, you got to call before 8 a.m. and you got to put it in. And then they'll come 2 days later to look at your sink. But they're not, you can't just call them and tell them to come over or whatever.
Right.
There's no Saturdays or holidays with those assholes. But the parking guys, they never sleep.
I imagine this scenario. Imagine this utopia where I leave a note on my car, and then the parking meter guy, the meter maid person, comes over and says, writes on my note, sorry to hear about your car. I will have to give you a ticket. I'll be back at 1:30 in the morning. Right? Like, could you imagine? Mind blown.
Those guys.
Mind blown. No. They probably saw us working on the car, and they were hiding in the bushes. And when we walked away to go to 7-Eleven, they darted over to give us the stupid ticket.
Yes.
Anyway.
Don't pay the parking ticket.
I want to go to court and fight
this
ticket.
My new thing? Like, my new thing is just, fuck it. If homeless people are just sleeping everywhere, what am I paying parking tickets for? Like, you want anarchy? Fine. Anarchy. Everyone stop paying.
Yes.
Don't pay. Like, who cares?
Except
they can't. I don't know if they can control anymore.
I'm pretty sure the car's still registered in your name.
I don't care. I haven't paid parking tickets in years.
Anyway, the packing tape. The packing tape with the little metal tooth blade, the serrated blade in the front.
Right.
Made quick work of that belt. Took about 10 seconds. And there was so much tension on that belt.
As a guy who knows building and tools, I'm picturing that. It's like a little fine-tooth finish saw.
We took the roll of tape off of it and used the plastic handle.
Right.
And it was a tight fit. You can only move it about 1.5 inches back and forth.
Right.
And you could see it's just starting to cut on top of the belt.
Right.
I was just cutting like flat on the belt.
Yeah.
And once it got about halfway through, the belt just popped off. I took the belt. I threw it in the back seat. Started the car. it never ran better in its life. So I just babied it back to the shop and about 1:30 in the morning, and I'm going to go get it today, and I got to get a new supercharger. So now I got to call like the guys at Vortec and be like, hey, I don't know what happened here, but I need a new supercharger thing. And of course, being a car guy, this is my chance to go, ooh, the V2 Ti that they make is a better blower and makes a little more boost, so I might as well upgrade. Might as well try to upgrade.
This is
right?
God telling you to upgrade.
To upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny because the car was idling poorly that morning, and I heard it, and I was like, it sounds like the supercharger's making a little bit of noise. And Osh was telling me, he's like, I'm having a little trouble tuning it at idle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because that supercharger was really dragging. Those bearings were going.
Yeah, when the bearings – yeah, it's funny. Most –
you can't turn it by hand. When we took the belt off, it was completely seized.
Yeah. Most everything in life, whether it's a health issue or it's a supercharger issue, they're little tells, they're little signs that if you really listen, like, why is this? Where'd that little sound come from? That little squeal, and then why is the idle rough? Why did it start idling rough? And yes, that thing's starting to seize and slow.
And I wouldn't have thought, because he had it on the dyno, he was doing all this tuning, and I wasn't really thinking it was a bad supercharger.
No, I wouldn't have thought that. You know. I wouldn't have thought that either. But life will, tell you. All right, we'll keep you posted.
What I needed this weekend was some Geico.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had that Geico insurance, you know, because everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off your dry cleaning. You're picking up some milk. You're going on your Friday night date.
Mm-hmm.
Now you should save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right. We got some emails, some questions.
Yeah, this one comes from Curtis. If you guys want to write in, just go to carcastshow.com, click the contact page. Now, Adam, you went to Detroit last weekend, and you asked Ford about what's going on John Cena. Well, this week, Curtis wants to know, because it's just been recently announced that not only is Ford suing John Cena, but they are now suing, or they have been suing, the dealership that Cena sold the car to as well. So they just want to get your thoughts on that, because...
I have multiple thoughts about everything all the time. But one is, I noticed at a Mecum and Kissimmee or something, Indianapolis or something, auction coming up, they featured a 2017 Ford GT. Maybe it was silver. And I remember thinking, oh, one of those is going across the auction block. What's the story there?
Yeah.
Because that's out in the public.
Right. The rules are supposed to be keep it for 2 years, then do whatever you want. Right?
Hold on.
Now, we know...
Sold for almost $1.7 million?
Yeah, so last week of 2017...
It was last week? Okay, sorry, continue. Go ahead.
Last week of 2017, Ford GT showed up on the Meakin Auctions website for the company's Indianapolis auction. A Ford spokesperson said that the company doesn't comment on customer matters or ongoing litigations like the Cena court case, but said all Ford GT customers signed contracts, which include an agreement not to sell the car for at least 2 years. Well, the GT at Mecum sold for almost $1.7 million, with a Mecum rep saying at the start of the auction that a judge ruled in Mecum's favor about selling the car.
Wow. Okay, wow. So just so you know... the base price on that car is about $550, and then you can work it up to $650 or $7. I'm somewhere, loose numbers, but somewhere in that neighborhood. So somebody just tacked $1 million on a car they bought a year ago, or may have received 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now we know there was another Ford GT that was for sale, but this was with permission. It was a Bear Jackson earlier this year at the Scottsdale auctions, but that was a charity car, and somebody had it, got permission with Ford. Ford said, yes, let's do it. It's all going into the charity, and they sold it. I forgot what it sold for, but it was Bear Jackson, Arizona.
Well, Max Paddle, look into that. Now, the thing that's interesting about a car like that and charity is you could tell the IRS – Well, the price of the car is $600,000, so anything over $600,000,
yeah, we write that off.
We're going to write it off. Yeah. But the price of the car, as we found out, is $1.7 million.
Now after the fact, yeah.
No, what I'm saying is if you got it at Barrett Jackson and Scottsdale in January for a charity auction and you paid $1.7 million for that car,
right,
you could then write off $1 million worth of $1.1 million worth of charity. But reality is, when you do that normally, the car isn't worth what you paid for it. That's why you write that charity off. In right. this particular case, it is worth.
Yeah, that is an interesting.
What you paid for it. Do people follow my logic there?
Yeah, I do follow you. I follow you on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So whoever bought that thing at Barrett Jackson and paid $1.4 for it or whatever. Well, I don't know what they paid.
Yeah, I don't remember what they paid.
Whatever they paid.
Barrett Jackson was $2.5 million.
Okay.
For yeah. charity, yeah.
Right. So $2.5 million charity, good. That person wrote off $2 million.
Yeah.
But that person's at $1.7 million now.
Yes, but they would argue the dates. They would argue at the time of the sale, no other 4GT was on
the
private market. Oh, yeah.
Listen, you win on a technicality and yeah. screw the IRS, but I'm just saying that worked out all right. Yeah. Now, I don't know. Are those cars $1.7 million now? Are they over $2 million?
Apparently,
that's
the market. I guess there's only two winners here, the charity and John Cena, I think, because he's still winning, right? He probably got... Is Cena kicking himself because he sold it for $1 million, or do you think he got $2 million? That's the question. Is we don't know what Cena sold it for.
I can't see that he did a private sale for over $1 million for some reason.
I just
but who
don't.
Knows?
I just have so many conflicted feelings about that whole thing. Why not just be like, hey, you know, I don't want to be a douche. Sure, you want to buy the car. I'll sell you the car. We'll sign some paperwork. I'm going to keep it in my name, Cena. I'm going to keep it in Cena's name for the 2 years. You come visit it, whatever you want, drive it, whatever. We've got a deal.
But
I'm not signing it over to you, and we're not doing a press release about selling it. You know.
I don't know, but I should have got my name in on that list.
Should have got your name in on that list.
All right. Yeah. What else you got, Max Panna? Oh, sorry. Did that give closure?
What was the question?
I brought it up to the Ford guys. They laughed. Like, you know, I was talking to guys who are in like the advertising department. Like, there's 200 million employees. Like, nobody. Yeah. There's six guys who know what's going on. The rest just know the story. They don't know all the nuts.
From their
bolts.
Point of view, it's like it's going exactly the way we thought it would from a marketing standpoint. We gave it rules. We're enforcing the rules, and we're getting more. You know, look, honestly. Ford is not coming out as the bad guy on this one because they didn't invent these rules. Ferrari and other car companies have all sorts of clauses and punishments and stuff. And, you know, you buy your LaFerrari because you're on the list and you go to sell it. They make you buy 3 California GTs as punishment.
Right.
You know, like, so Ford didn't create the rules here, but right. they're enforcing it like every other car company, you know, super prestigious car company does. And, you know, they may not win. They probably won't win. But the point is there's a hassle. There's a hassle they're going to put you through. And I'm fine with that. I would much rather Ford or Ferrari or any car company go this route than the car be $500,000 and then every dealer wanting $1 million markup, which is like a big free tip for them. Like
it, I agree.
You know, if you're on the list for that car, you pay the price for that. You pay the MSRP with the options, whatever. You pay the real price. And then you keep it for 2 years, and then you go sell it at Mecum for $1.7 million. I'm fine with that. It's the dealer screwing you that I have issues with.
Agreed.
Yeah, there's a lot of press about these cars. Do you see John Cena's GT now? Because it's nobody knows who has it. Like, who has it now? Everybody's trying to find out.
Yeah.
But if you see that on an auction block in a couple of years, John Cena's GT, is that worth a ton now just because of all the press and all the...
I don't think it adds much. A story's nice. It would garner yeah. more attention, but as
it's not an OJ Bronco.
Yeah, we figured it out. Sorry, what else?
All
you
right,
got, Max?
So this one comes from Adam Storm from LA. He's 36. Adam and Matt, I'm thinking about leasing the new Alfa Romeo Stelvio SUV.
Yeah.
I noticed that depending on the trim I choose, the wheels range from 18 to 20 inches. Mm-hmm. Do either of you have any thoughts on how an 18-inch wheel affects the ride? comfort, performance, etc., versus a 19 or 20 inch wheel. Thanks for the time. Adam.
Adam loves the wheels and tires.
I do love sizes of wheels and tires, but also now I realize living in LA and driving around on 20s and popping tires left and right, especially if I was driving a truck like that, I'd get 18s.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. It's like every single driveway you turn up, you clip just a 3 inches short on the driveway and just sidewalls, potholes everywhere, LA, horrible. Like, I just wouldn't do it. It's not worth the hassle.
I hit a hole in the freeway or a grate or something in the freeway today. Man, I thought the suspension tore off the car. Like, luckily it was Osh's car, not mine. But
right, yeah. But I, especially if you're going with the SUV, I'd just go 18s.
Yeah.
And put a little sidewall on there.
Also, that 18's going to be a smoother ride. That's the added sidewall. The thicker sidewall adds as more cushion. Right?
Yeah. And, well, what people don't realize, or Matt realizes it, but everyone doesn't. Your suspension is like kind of threefold. It the first piece of suspension is your tire, and what it does when it runs over. You know, Max Spada, imagine you just take a garden rake and you just lay the handle down across a street, and you're going to drive your car, and the left side of your car is just going to run over the garden rake handle, and the right isn't. But the first piece of suspension is what the tire does, how much the tire can compress and absorb that. The second piece is the actual suspension.
Sure.
And the third is the seat, like how much seat, whatever, you know, back in the day, it'd be springs in the seat, whatever. So it's like kind of like threefold. Why not have the initial contact with that thing, whether it's a rake or a pothole? How about have that be able to absorb a fair bit of it,
right?
Yeah, make it easier on the suspension and the seat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, depending on which version of the Stelvia that he buys, you know, the small engine is going to have the optional 18s or whatever. And then if he goes to the bigger engine with, you know, the twin turbo, whatever it is, that's in the Giulia as well, the 500 horsepower one, that one's probably going to come with the 20s on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you could probably mix and match.
Yeah.
If you made a thing out of it. All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Mm-hmm. Tech advances have made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient. The pressure's on, though, man. Those engines have to work hard, so you need an advanced oil to lubricate those engines. And like I said, well, the Ford GT's got a V6 in it.
Yeah.
But it's working harder, man.
Yeah, it is.
Castrol Edge collaborated with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games, and you can find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. See for yourself. Go to Castrol Edge and check that out. Also, check out the video, Castrol USA YouTube page. Really cool video. Informative. Check it out. All right, you got another...
Oh, yeah, we got another tire question for you guys.
Mm-mm. Okay.
This is Shane. He's from Rhode Island. Hey, guys, I have a BMW E21 320i that I swapped in a S52 engine.
Hold on. Yeah. A 320i?
Yeah.
So the old school.
Yeah.
So I think it was 2002 and then 320i in terms of BMWs. I mean, there's a lot
it was
of weird...
E21?
There's weird Euro versions
E21.
Of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll tell you.
I'd be curious. So here we go. So good shape, little car. Fun little car.
The car also has some suspension work and Wilwood front brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just need some tires that will complete the package. The car will see more street time, but I do plan on bringing it to the track once a month. Eventually,
We're scrolling down a bunch of pictures, but a lot of them are 2002s. And then, like, 328s and stuff like that. It's weird when you Google in, like, BMW, oh, you're doing the E21. That's maybe the confused part. But anyway, 320i. 320i was the car.
It's like
that,
70-something through 82 or 83. Is the
E21. Yeah, yeah. If there was a rich girl in my high school, that was her car.
Yeah.
And back when people go, she drives a BMW.
Yeah.
You know, that where it meant something. Now nothing means anything anymore. Yeah, all right. 320i. Got all it. Right. Sorry. Willwood in the front.
Yeah, Will in the front. Suspension work. Sees more street time. Wants to bring a track once a month. Eventually, I hope to have a designated set of wheels and tires for track days. But at the moment, I'm looking for a decently sticky tire that will also be okay if I ever happen to be stuck in a rainstorm. The end goal is a tire that performs like a modern tire, but has a look of a classic tire to suit the package. What do you guys think?
Okay, so I don't know what size is
that car
available.
Oh, he says the end. Oh, 205. I'm not. I don't even know how to really
say it.
205/50/15.
Okay.
Okay.
15-inch rim, 50 series tire, 205 millimeter.
Noted.
Okay. Sure. Sure. That's
coming. Ask me next week.
Yeah. That's a not a very big tire. You can go to a place like Tire Rack and you can look at all the specs. Like you can look at the weight of the tire.
Yeah.
You can look at the wear rating of the tire. You can look at like the heat rating of the tire. You can look at, you know, lateral grip and stuff like that, I believe. You know, when you look at a tire that wears quickly, now you're looking at stickier compound and a better handling tire, but not a longer lasting tire.
I'm running a Continental Extreme something or other on the Mustang. I think I've got a set of Michelin like PS4S on the M3 that's going on it now with the new wheels. But this guy should also look at Nitto, because Nitto has a pretty good like street track tire, like an NT05. Might be a good tire to like, you know, to you're saying for the one set, you occasionally do some track time. The NT01 might be a little too aggressive for the street. It's more track oriented, but check into like an NT05.
At 15, 50, 205, the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff out there. Like if you have a 16-inch rim, some 15, but like the best, like 16 or something, there's so many possibilities. If you have a 13-inch rim, it gets narrowed down, you know, and stuff like that. So
15 and bigger.
But I'd go to a place like Tire Rack and look at all the specs.
Because they carry them all. So
and everything's
going to
work.
They're fantastic.
All right, take care of a little business.
What he's going to need for those new set of wheels is his brush here up.
Oh, good.
Oh, man. No more backaches and wet, scraped up knuckles. It's 100% water powered. There's no batteries or electricity required. Just a standard garden hose. The starter set comes with two brush heads, a soft one for sensitive surfaces like paint and chrome, maybe those wheels, and a tough one for serious muck. There's an extensive line of accessories to clean virtually anything. You can do it on boats, barbecues, yard tools, patio furniture. This thing works fantastic. It's a great Father's Day gift. There are gift sets for every budget. If you go to Amazon, Costco, or Walmart, you can check it out there, or you can buy direct at brushhero.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the code CARCAST.
Great item, by the way. Smart.
So use CARCAST as the code for 10% off, and all orders over $40 include free shipping. Check out brushhero.com.
All right. Second show added in Portland on June 9th. One-man show. Come on out to that. First show sold out. Go to adamcarolla.com for live shows coming up all over the place. We'll see you tomorrow night at the Uppity screening in Indy. Go to our website and check out all that stuff. Support the show. Check out Shift and Steer as well. Listen to that on Podcast One. And, of course, Chassis, all the good stuff, CHASSY. Lots of really good offerings there. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
The $99 Cedar Point Gold Pass is back. You can get unlimited visits this fall and all of 2025 at America's Roller Coast. You'll also get thrills of all sizes, splash-tastic fun, free parking, and Halloween weekends. It's all for our lowest price of the season. Just $99 plus applicable taxes and fees. Online only. Get your 2025 Gold Pass and start planning your visit at cedarpoint.com.